The Major League Baseball season is underway for two teams, and Thursday, every team is scheduled to play. Normally, that would be the talk of towns. Instead, a worldwide conversation dominates. Welcome to In the Bullpen with Mark Dewey, sponsored by Developing Contenders Ministries. You're listening to the Fight Laugh Feast Network. Thank you for joining us.
And look who's coming up. High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Last week, I did something I've never done in my life. I watched a baseball game at 6 o'clock in the morning. You may have done the same thing. And of course, if you did, we did it for the same thing. Well, I guess I better not say that. I did it for the game between the Dodgers and the Padres in Seoul, South Korea on Wednesday. So the opening game of the 2024 season. You may have done so Wednesday or Thursday or both. I didn't do it on Thursday, but I did watch on Wednesday. And I want to just give some random observations from that game. I think everybody knows it was the first ever Major League Baseball game played in Korea. Something I found out listening to the podcast that I did not know, not the podcast, the broadcast, that I did not know was that baseball was brought to Korea in 1905 by a United States missionary. I found that to be both interesting and thoroughly appropriate. Something else I noticed that I didn't know until watching that game, a former teammate of mine, we played together in AAA both with the Mets and the Pirates, Tim Leeper is the third base coach for the San Diego Padres, and I'm happy for Leep that he has that position. I also heard during this game that there was a survey done of the fans, and that the least favorite thing about the game by the fans or for the fans would be the mound visits. And so therefore, in 2024, the number of mound visits drops from 5 per game to 4 per game. Now, as both a former pitcher and pitching coach, I'm not a big fan of mound visits either. As a pitcher, it's because usually when I got a mound visit, it was the manager coming to take me out of the game, which I never enjoyed. As a pitching coach, I didn't like them because fundamentally there are two types of pitchers. Those who hate it when a pitching coach makes a mound visit, and those who like it when a pitching coach makes a mound visit. I didn't want to go out unless I had an absolutely clear reason to do so because I didn't want to get in the way of the people that hated it, and I did not want to actively promote or encourage those who liked it. But the bigger problem for me is, I get it, we want to know what fans like or dislike, but are we just going to count noses and make rules of the game according to that? I mean, it appears we might be doing that. Something else I noticed, both Yu Darvish, the starting pitcher for the Padres, and Tyler Glasnow, the starting pitcher for the Dodgers, worked exclusively from the stretch. That's not uncommon, especially these days. I just don't remember the last time that I saw both starting pitchers pitching exclusively from the stretch. Speaking of those pitchers, Yu Darvish had a very high pitch count, didn't make it, I think, through the fourth inning. He was out early. Tyler Glasnow had a very live fastball, but he really struggled with his curveball. I don't know if he threw one in the zone. He threw at least one, maybe a couple that were solid chase pitches, but he could not find the zone with his curveball. Also, Fernando Tatis Jr. had a brutal approach at the plate. Obviously, did much better in the outfield. And then I also liked the looks of a man I didn't know a lot about. He's only 20 years old, the starting center fielder for the Padres in this game, Jackson Merrill. And it's an interesting story. He's only 3 years removed from high school. He never played center field, at least in professional baseball, and that's where he started. He has only 5 games prior to this year above A-ball and no games above Double-A. He looks like he's going to be a really good hitter. I think it'll be fun to watch how he develops. Another thing I've seen in the past that I saw again in this game is the one-knee-down catching. Doing so even with runners on, doing so with 2 strikes on the batter, doing so with a man on third base, doing so with the bases loaded 2 out and a 3-2 count. I'm just a pitching guy. I just still don't get this. Everybody's doing it, so there's got to be some reasoning behind it, at least I hope, but I don't get it. If you're a person that understands why this makes sense, let me know. I read things and I see some arguments for it, but it still hasn't made sense to me. So those are some random observations from that opening day game on Wednesday in Seoul, South Korea. So let me think, what else happened on Wednesday? Oh, yeah, that's right. Only the biggest story in Major League Baseball for a very long time, and potentially the biggest story ever in Major League Baseball. And it's a story that within the first 24 hours had significant twists and turns. It has resulted in an almost unlimited number of questions. And I am assuming by now you are very familiar, at least with the story, if not all of the details. It involves Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter, Ippei Mitsuhara. It supposedly involves fundamentally only Mitsuhara, but that's where all sorts of things start to become very, very fuzzy. It is a story that involves at least $4.5 million of Shohei Ohtani's money. It involves gambling. It involves gambling with an illegal bookmaker. And the obvious concern of anybody really that's thinking about this is, what did Shohei Ohtani know? Does he gamble? Did he gamble on baseball? Now, Jeff Passan was on the Pat McAfee show on Thursday and was giving some more details surrounding the story, the events around it, and the timeline for it.
Yeah, let me give you the timeline there, because I can actually explain that one. There's so much, Pat, in this story that we don't know right now and that we can't explain. But at that particular point, Shohei Ohtani knew that there was gambling involved with Ippei Mitsuhara, his interpreter. At that point, the story that had been told to Tisha Thompson, our reporter at ESPN, was that Ippei Mitsuhara had gambled on international soccer, the NFL, college football, NBA, not baseball.
So that was Thursday, and Jeff Passan said, then there is so much not known and many things that we cannot explain. Well, here we are on Monday, and there's still so much not known and so many things that we cannot explain. In this report, he said that it was not Shohei that was betting or gambling. That was the story then. And that his interpreter, Ippei, did not gamble on baseball. Jeff Passan continued as he talked about what was going on.
It's an important part of the story, certainly, because, you know, it is different than Pete Rose. It is different than the Black Sox scandal. So at that point, he knew that there was gambling that had gone on. You can go into the clubhouse, in fact, after the game, and Dodgers players were sitting down, and a group of people, front office people for the organization, got up and said, hey, there's going to be a story coming out about gambling. Ippei, would you like to say something? And he was just extremely apologetic. Then they left and went back to the hotel. And at some point there, it seems that is where the story changed.
So I would agree that no doubt there are differences between this story and what happened with Pete Rose and what happened with the Black Sox. Absolutely. The question is, are there any similarities? And if so, to what extent? And at the end there, you heard that a changing story is never a good sign. That is absolutely true in this story and in every other story. When one expression of what is supposed to be the truth is given, and then that changes and a different so-called truth is presented, that is not a good sign. What it means, we don't know yet, but we know this, it is not a good sign. Now, Passan continued dealing with more of the problems that are being faced in this situation.
Because the expectation was that, you know, this was going to be running, this story, based on what Ippei Mitsuhara had said to Tisha Thompson, our reporter, on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, suddenly, Ohtani's people come back and say, wait. We disavow the information that was given to you in an interview that we helped set up Instead, this is our statement. And the statement was that there is a massive theft of money that has gone on. We have documents that show $4.5 million in wire transfers out of a bank account to the alleged illegal bookmaker. Now, what happened during that time? We do not know yet. And why this story changed so quickly? Was there information that was found out? And if so, what was that information? Or did something with the original story suddenly not jibe anymore? This is the stuff, Pat, that when you put it out there and when there is no transparency about what transpired, you're going to get suspicion. You're going to get skepticism. Oh, you're going to get questions. You're going to get people who are assuming, unfortunately, the worst in this situation.
So there's a lot there. As he mentioned, when you disavow information previously given, switching from Otani New to it's a massive act of thievery on the behalf of ePay, we've got problems. Why did the story change? We didn't know back on Thursday when Jeff Passan was speaking. We don't know yet today. And when will we know? That's a question I have no idea what the answer to it is. Also, it is true, again, across the board, not just in this story, not just with Shohei, when there is no transparency, when we do not abide by the biblical command to speak the truth in love, not to bear false witness, there are going to be many, many questions. There's going to be suspicion, speculation, skepticism. People are going to jump to conclusions and, in many cases, assume the worst. And that is not simply unfortunate. As Jeff Passan said, it's flat out wrong. It's sinful. We are not to do so. So Jeff Passan was on the McAfee show on Thursday. Dan Patrick, who has his own show, also spoke about this on Thursday.
You know, I want to be careful, and I would caution people of speculation, but there are questions that come up here that it doesn't make sense. And that story changed really fast. And I think that's what if I'm a reporter on this, man, I'm going deep. There's something here and there's a disconnect, and this is your best friend and he's covering your loans. Then he's not covering your loans. And then Otani's a victim here of theft, even though he sent it from his computer. Did the interpreter have access to his computer? We're talking, you know, $4.5 million.
So Dan Patrick gave a good and biblical caution as it regards speculation. He also gave a good, I wouldn't say advice. He said that if he were doing it, or a reporter ought to go deep. And that is undoubtedly true. And not just a reporter, but Major League Baseball. Now, this whole situation is, at best, a huge mess. At worst, it's a massive scandal. And if it is that massive scandal, it will be unlike any scandal in Major League Baseball history. Now, on Thursday, Dan Patrick, I thought, summed up this whole situation extraordinarily well. That's for sure. Now, all of this was taking place on Thursday. And at that time, this statement was released. Shohei Ohtani is not currently facing any discipline or believed to be under investigation by the league for the ePay Mitsuhara gambling situation. And I read that and I thought, you got to be kidding me. Now, the reporter who broke this story, you heard her mentioned by Jeff Passan, Tisha Thompson of ESPN, put out on social media, probably many places, I saw it on social media, a very extensive timeline of what happened between 7:30 p.m. Sunday through 4:13 p.m. Wednesday, and those are Eastern Daylight Times. And that added some more details to what Jeff Passan talked about when he was on the Pat McAfee show. And if you want to look for that timeline, I think you can find it still very easily. One of the things that I noticed as I was seeking to follow this is that on Thursday and Friday, it seemed to get buried in the sports news cycle, in particular at MLB.com. You would think it would be the top story, the one that would be at the top of the list, but I had to scan down quite some time before I got to it. Now, while this was going on, and I think this was on Thursday, it may have been early Friday, but I think it was Thursday, a friend of mine, who's a brother in Christ, who is a lifelong Reds fan and who is an attorney, texted me this. Very curious of your take on Ohtani. Is he untouchable, or will Major League Baseball do a real investigation? Reds fan forums are quite active, watching with great interest to see how MLB pursues this as compared to Rose. Well, you can understand that, especially from fans of the Cincinnati Reds, fans of Pete Rose. A really important question that my friend asked, is he untouchable or will MLB do a real investigation? And I think that my friend knew they had to do an investigation, but would it be a real one? That's a very important question. I don't know the answer to that. But I responded to my friend writing this. I'm still wondering what happened. However, regardless of how much or little Ohtani has been involved, if Major League Baseball doesn't investigate it, they are a travesty. Not only for Rose, but Bauer should be kept in mind. In other words, Trevor Bauer. That's another conversation, but that whole situation is a travesty, in my opinion. He wrote back, definitely. And Ohtani should be given due process, but he shouldn't be given a pass due to his prominence. Remember, my friend is a Reds fan. My friend is an attorney. Most significantly of all, my friend is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he just expressed a biblical view. He should be given due process, but he shouldn't be given a pass. And I responded with one word. Exactly. So all of this was Thursday or maybe early Friday. Then Friday night, about dinner time, I read this. MLB opens investigation into allegations involving Shohei Ohtani, Epe Mitsuhara. Epe, I think is how you say it. Epe. And then there was a statement that said that they have been gathering information since they've learned about the allegations, and that they're going to do a formal process of investigating the matter at hand. That came out Friday. And again, when you think about when it dropped, sometime around dinner time on Friday, late afternoon, early evening, you know that news like that drops at that particular time to hopefully not get as much attention as normal. However, I don't think there's any way that this story can be buried, hidden, glossed over. Then, Sunday, yesterday, I read, and I've read it several times since I first read it yesterday, that it has been widely reported that Shohei will be addressing the media today, sometime today. He'll do so after first addressing his teammates. Now, the Dodgers came back from Seoul, and they are playing a three-game series with the Angels in L.A., so they were at Dodger Stadium last night. So sometime, probably late this afternoon, or maybe early this afternoon, West Coast time, Pacific Daylight Time, Ohtani is supposed to address first his teammates and then the media. Now, having said all of this, and having tried to follow to the best of my ability all that's come out in the last few days, I do not have enough information to come to any conclusions other than it's a mess at best and a colossal scandal at worst. Even if I had some insider information, I am not going to jump to any conclusions. I just won't do so. But I will agree with this statement. I don't know who made it, but the statement is this. The Shohei Ohtani gambling saga threatens to overshadow the entire Major League Baseball season. I think that is absolutely true. And this is such a big story that this morning, Monday morning, Al Mohler on the briefing, and if you know anything about Dr. Mohler and the briefing, you know that sports is not high up in his list of interests. And yet, this morning, Monday morning, what is it, March the 5th, Al Mohler addressed this situation.
Well, here's my prediction, and don't worry, I'm not going to give a sports prediction. I'm going to give a moral prediction. This will not stay a confused picture for long. Not because, by the way, there aren't people who want to keep it confused, and that might even include the people who want to protect the brand of Major League Baseball. No, this is just too big a story. And the way this works in our society, it wouldn't work this way in Russia with an autocratic government. The way it works here is there's going to be someone who's going to work this story, find some source, and make some claim, and eventually you're going to have claim and counterclaim, report and counterreport. And before long, whether or not the courts are involved, there will be a clarification of what's going on here. And let's face it, the big story is not what did Shohei Ohtani's translator do. The big question is, as was phrased in the Watergate proceedings, what did he know and when did he know it? And eventually the story could become big enough that it's what did he do and when did he do it?
I do not know how you can argue with that statement by Dr. Al Mohler. Major League Baseball, if it has not recognized the truth of that statement, they need to. Now, while I'm going to be very careful not to jump to conclusions, not to assume the worst about Shohei Ohtani, I will say this. I believe Major League Baseball is both hypocritical and guilty in this to a significant degree. Major League Baseball doesn't only allow, but actively promotes gambling. Promotes it in its games, promotes it in really every way conceivable. Now, if you haven't seen, you can imagine some of the memes and comments that have been floating around on social media since Wednesday. One I liked is this one. Welcome back to SportsCenter, presented by ESPN Bet. For more on the Ohtani situation, we go to our FanDuel MLB insider Jeff Passan at our DraftKings studio in Los Angeles, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook. Jeff, how could something like this happen? I think very profound satire right there. And then a former Major League Baseball player about my age. We never played against each other. He was in the American League. I was in the National League. But he has a very significant social media presence and is not afraid to speak out about a number of things. Tweeted this out. FYI, at Major League Baseball has partnerships with at FanDuel, at MGM Resorts International, at DraftKings, and the head of the at MLBPA says, we're entering into a dangerous world. And the head of the Major League Baseball Players Association is Tony Clark. Jeff Fry also tweeted this out. The at MLB biggest star is being investigated for gambling while the commissioner of at MLB promotes gambling. Who could have predicted a mess like this? That, of course, is sarcasm. Because anybody thinking, anybody with two neurons firing would predict a mess like this. I've had conversations with people in private over the last month or so, and I have said to them regarding this whole gambling thing, long before anything came out about Shohei, that there's going to be a major scandal. And I said, there may be things going on right now. We just haven't heard about them yet. Anybody could predict a mess like this. Now, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as one who strives to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, according to the word of Christ, the Holy Scriptures, I know that gambling is dangerous. It's destructive of lives and families, and it is a very real and present threat to devastate baseball, not only Major League Baseball, but even amateur baseball. Now, some might argue that the same could be said about the use and abuse of alcohol, that it could present very similar problems. And they would say, well, Major League Baseball promotes alcohol as well as gambling. They advertise alcohol, they promote it. There is, however, a massive difference. While the abuse of alcohol is a sin, and brings tremendous destruction to lives, families, communities, and institutions, the use of alcohol is not necessarily a sin, and it can be enjoyed to the glory of God. This is clearly taught in the Bible. Gambling, on the other hand, finds no warrant in Scripture. It cannot be engaged in to the glory of God. In a word, gambling is a sin. But that's a conversation for another day. Join us next time for In the Bullpen on the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Thank you for listening.